Diocese of Hope presents Bible Answers, and welcome to our program. My name is Rick Tyler.
I'm Mark Martin.
And I'm Ed Short.
And we're glad you're with us today. Today is actually August. Yeah, it's August, isn't it? What is today?
The 23rd
of August. Thank you, guys. We just had a little crack up here in the studio right before we started. I'm glad you're with us. And we're just having a little fun. We've got a couple of visitors here today that are with us, just kind of listening in. And we're going to try to answer a Bible question that came in from someone. You know, that's what this program's all about, answering things from the Bible, having Amen. Bible study. Yeah. So first of all, before we get started, we want to thank Ray Powers for giving us the opportunity to broadcast here every week on New Visions Radio. And you can catch us here every Sunday, 7 p.m. Eastern Time, and we try to have a new and fresh program for you every week. And as far as Prophecies of Hope is concerned, some of the things that we do, Ed, can you tell us a little bit about what this ministry does during the week?
Well, we're actually a small little church in Virginia, and on Wednesday evenings we have a Bible study. We meet, we have a few people that join us online, and on Saturday, or what we call Sabbath, is when we have our church service. We have a Bible study portion that starts at 9:30, which you can tune in online, as well as the worship service at 11, which is also broadcast online.
Very good. And we do that every Wednesday and every Saturday, right? Yeah. Wednesday night we have the Bible study, and Saturday you can tune in there. Just go to prophecyhope.com. Now, Rick, if somebody wants to contact you or ask you a question, how do they get in touch with you?
Well, they can email me at rick@prophecyhope.com.
Okay. And Ed?
And my email is ed@prophecyhope.com.
And believe it or not, mine is mark@prophecyhope.com. So, and if you forget our names, which sometimes people do, you can just give us a general email at office@prophecyhope.com. Now, what we're going to do, you know, we just finished up last week. Ed, you and I finished up the study in Jude, didn't
yes.
we?
Yes.
And we may go to a Bible topic or a specific book today. We're not sure yet. We're going to see how long it takes us to answer this question. We always like to answer all questions that we get straight from God's Word. And before we start, Rick, I'm going to ask you if you would open with prayer for us, please.
Okay. Father in heaven, we just are so greatly blessed to be able to have your Bible, to open your Word. And Father, we just ask that the Spirit of Christ might be with us. Your Spirit might prompt our hearts and minds to know the truth that you would want us to know. Help us to answer questions straight from your Word, and help us to understand. We need your Spirit, Father, to open our hearts and minds, and we ask for it, not just for us, for anyone, but for anyone that is listening today. And it's in Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen.
Amen. So one of the things that I forgot to mention was the series that's coming up. You know, okay. We're going to have a Bible prophecy series coming up in September. September the 28th through October the 3rd, you'll be able to tune in on prophecyhope.com. And you'll be able to watch that. It'll start every evening at 7 o'clock. And it'll be a Bible prophecy series. We're going to start in Daniel 2. We're going to spend some time in Daniel chapter 7, Revelation chapter 13, and we will be discussing some topics that aren't necessarily politically correct today. You know, that's a political correctness is something that is kind of infecting the world. Would you say that?
I would say it's the opposite of Bible correctness.
Yeah, it is. And one of the questions that came in today in particular was about, it has to do with homosexuality. You know, I personally have acquaintances who are Christian, at least they say they're Christian, but they profess to be homosexuals. Some people ask, are people born this way? Are they born as a homosexual?
Well, I just want to stop you right there, Mark. I want to address that right away since this question came up.
Okay.
And obviously, none of us can change the circumstances where we were born.
Right.
Okay? I mean, how we're born is how we come into the world. We have no rhyme or reason to that, no choice in that whatsoever. I'm born to my parents, right. And I'm stuck with my parents, right? Mm-hmm. But you're stuck with your parents too. How do...
Yeah, we can't change
that. We can't change that. That's the circumstances that we're given. So how does God work with that? I mean, there are people born in every different culture with parents. Maybe one parent disappears. Maybe both parents. Maybe, you know, the father disappears. The mother dies during childbirth. How does God bring a child like that up in a way that he can save someone like that? And so when we're talking about a specific thing like homosexuality, a lot of people are under the impression that they are born that way. And my response to that is not to diminish where they are, but I just say, I'm born the way I was.
Right.
I'm born with difficulties and propensities for sin in my life.
Okay. And before you go too far.
Okay.
Because I want you to, there's something that I definitely want you to share. And I think that's where you were headed.
Yeah.
But let's take a look first and see what God's word says about different acts, different things that whether he approves or disapproves. What do you think? Let's let that be the foundational thing, because here's the thing. This is Bible answers, right?
And that's true.
And we can share our personal thoughts and feelings, but they have to come from the Bible. And I know that's where you're going.
Well, if we're going to the Bible, I would like to take us to a place where we've talked out of the book of Jude, because we talked the last few weeks out of the book of Jude. There's a text right there that really gives us a springboard, a starting point. And it's verse 7 in Jude. Of course, Jude has only one chapter, so it'd be Jude 1:7. Mm-hmm. And it says, I'm reading from the King James Bible, even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication, it says. This is sexual sin it's talking about.
Yes, it is. So let me ask you, there's something else. Can we look at that account in Sodom and Gomorrah? Because isn't there something else that this could be referring to as well?
I think we need to go back to the Old Testament and look it up. But anybody that knows anything about the Bible realizes that Sodom and Gomorrah were destroyed by God for their wickedness. And here in Jude, it's coming out that for sure, it had to do with their sexual immorality is one of the primary reasons God saw fit to destroy them.
So sexual immorality can be for a heterosexual also, right?
Yes. Yeah, I don't think... God is pretty specific about the role of sex in our lives.
Yes.
And sexual activity in our lives.
Yes.
He's pretty specific in the scripture. And I think as we look at these things, it'll become very apparent what God expects of us in this area.
Yeah. So just to set the stage again, for if you're just now tuning in, you know, this is a very sensitive subject, particularly today. And it's something that I see more and more of almost, for lack of a better word, a push or an agenda for us to start accepting things that maybe the Bible doesn't. We know that's been the case for many years. But here's the thing. When I look at this particular thing, we're talking about, does God approve of, or is it okay? Can I be a Christian? Can I be one of Christ's children if I am a homosexual? That's what we want to discuss today. That's what we have to get to the bottom of that. And so where do we go from Jude? You were just in Jude 1:7. Where do you recommend we go from here? Because it references Sodom, doesn't it?
Well, we probably need to go back and read the account of what had happened in Sodom with Abraham's nephew Lot.
Right.
And that's back, it must be in Genesis that account,
in
right?
In Genesis 19.
Okay, Ed, do you have that already?
Yes.
Genesis chapter 19.
And I don't know how much of the story you want to read.
Well, you know, we can kind of set the stage for it. And, you know, keep in mind that we want people to open their Bibles and read for themselves a lot of times. Mm-hmm. So my suggestion would be to let people read this account and see exactly what it says. But is there a particular place you'd like to start? Is there somewhere that you think is a better starting point?
I think we need to start where God was speaking to Abraham, and Abraham was bargaining with God for these cities of Sodom and Gomorrah.
Is that in chapter 18?
Yes, I believe it is. That God had heard that these cities were evil, and he wanted to come down to see for himself. And Abraham was saying, well, will you destroy these cities if 50 people are found that are righteous?
Right.
And then it goes down to 20, and then he keeps going down to a certain number. And God promised, if I find 5 righteous people, I won't destroy the cities.
Wow. Was it 10 or was it
10? 5? It may have been 10.
So it was 10. That's what I thought. If you look here in Genesis chapter 18 and in verse 32, it says, then he said, let not the Lord be angry, and I will speak but once more. Suppose 10 should be found there. And he said, I will not destroy it for the sake of 10. So God would have spared this whole city for just 10 people. Could you imagine being in a major city and you're one of those 10 and God says, okay, because I'm going to spare the city. So there must have been less than 10,
yeah,
right, in this whole city. So what happens here?
I think we need to pick it up in chapter 19. We can just start reading in verse 1.
Yeah. Okay, who wants to read?
I can start.
All right. And what translation are you using?
I am using the Modern King James Version.
All right. So this is Genesis chapter 19. Are we in verse 1?
Verse 1.
Okay.
And there came 2 angels to Sodom at evening, and Lot sat at the gate of Sodom. And Lot rose up to meet them when he saw them. And he bowed himself with his face towards the ground and said, behold now, my lords, please turn into your servant's house and stay all night, and wash your feet, and you shall rise up early and go your way. And they said, no, but we will stay in the street. But he urgently pressed on them, and they turned into him and entered into his house. And he made them a feast and baked unleavened bread, and they ate. But before they lay down, the men of the city, the men of Sodom, surrounded the house, both old and young, all the people from every quarter. And they called out to Lot and said to him, where are the men who came to you this night? Bring them out to us that we may know them.
Hmm. So what does that mean when it says that we may know them? That means to have relations with them.
Yeah, sexual relations.
Right, sexual relations. So, want to keep going?
Sure, we can. In verse 6, and Lot went out to the door to them and shut the door after them. He said, I pray you, brothers, do not act evilly. Behold, now I have 2 daughters which have not known men. I pray, let me bring them out to you, and you do to them as you see fit, but do nothing to these men, for this is why they came under the shadow of my roof. And they said, stand back. And they said, this one came in to stay, and must he judge always? Now we will deal worse with you than with them. And they pressed hard upon the man, Lot, and came near to breaking the door. But the men put out their hands and brought Lot into the house to them and shut the door. And they smote the men that were at the door of the house with blindness, both small and great, so that they wearied themselves to find the door. Interesting. That these 2 men, these angels, protected Lot. They pulled him inside, and the men of the city that were trying to get into the house, they made them blind. Yet they were still trying to find the door.
Yeah, the depravity.
Even their blindness.
You know, you'd think that would stop them, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
You would think so. So what happens next? Anybody want to paraphrase it or you want to read it?
I think we should read it.
Okay, let's read it. Rick, did you want to continue? What translation do you have there?
I have the King James.
Would you rather me read it from a modern perspective?
It might be better.
Verse 12.
Verse 12. Here we go. This is a New King James, Genesis 19:12. It says, then the men said to Lot, have you anyone else here? Son-in-law, your sons, your daughters, and whomever you have in the city, take them out of this place. For we will destroy this place because the outcry against them has grown great before the face of Jehovah. Well, it says the Lord, all caps. It says, and the Lord has sent us to destroy it. So Lot went out and spoke to his sons-in-law, who had married his daughters, and said, "Get up, get out of this place, for the Lord will destroy the city." But to his sons-in-law he seemed to be joking. When the morning dawned, the angels urged Lot to hurry, saying, "Arise, take your wife and your two daughters who are here, lest you be consumed in the punishment of the city." So something was coming, right? There was going to definitely be a destruction.
Yeah, and verse 15 is pretty important.
Yeah, why is that, Rick?
Because it says that these men, these angels, laid hold on their hands, mm-hmm. and they took them out of the city.
Yeah, they removed them, didn't they?
They basically removed them.
Yeah.
And that's just by the mercy of God himself.
Right.
So the sin, you can see the sin problem here. Yeah. It's very obvious. I don't know what to say, really. Right was wrong and wrong was right. You know, wow. Opposite.
Yeah, that sounds familiar, doesn't it?
Yeah.
It really does. So can you pick up in verse 16, Ed, with the modern King James?
Okay.
Or were you somewhere else?
I'm a little bit ahead, but I can get back there.
Oh, did you want to jump ahead there?
No, I was looking. Does the Bible say that homosexuality is a sin? That's what I was looking at.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, we'll get to that.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Yeah. So I can go in 19, verse 16.
All right.
It says, "And while he lingered, the men took hold of his hand, his wife's hand, and the hands of his two daughters. And the Lord, being merciful to him, they brought him out and set him aside outside the city. So it came to pass that when they had brought him outside, that he said, 'Escape for your life. Do not look behind you, nor stay anywhere in the plain. Escape to the mountains, lest you be destroyed.'" And then what happened, you guys, if we read through this account, what takes place?
Well, Lot's wife looks back.
Right.
And the Bible is kind of strange here. She became a pillar of salt.
That's what the Bible says.
That's strange to me.
For people who aren't believers, that's going to seem kind of strange. But, you know, knowing what we know about the scriptures, when it says these things, we know and believe it's true.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So you were going to say something else, Rick. I'm sorry.
Just that by God's mercy and his grace, Lot and his two daughters were saved. His wife could have been saved also if she'd have heeded the...
It was her choice to look back.
That's true.
Right? She chose to look back, and because of that, she was turned to a pillar of salt. But look at verse... I guess we could continue reading, but for the sake of being able to cover everything that I'd like to cover and answer this question as thoroughly as possible, take a look at verse 23. It says, "The sun had risen upon the earth, and Lot entered Zoar. Then the Lord," that's Jehovah, rained brimstone and fire on Sodom and Gomorrah from Jehovah out of the heavens. So he overthrew the cities of all the plain and the inhabitants of the cities and what grew on the ground. But his wife looked back behind him, and she became a pillar of salt." There you go. There you have it.
Mm-hmm.
"And Abraham went early in the morning to the place where he had stood before Jehovah." Excuse me. So in verse 28, it says, "Then he looked toward Sodom and Gomorrah, toward all the land of the plain, and he saw, and behold, the smoke of the land, which went up like the smoke of a furnace." What was the reason for destroying the city?
Genesis 18, 20 and 21 say, "And Jehovah said, because the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great, because their sin is very grievous, I will go down and see whether they have done altogether according to the cry of it, which has come to me, and if not, I will know." It's talking about the sin of Sodom and Gomorrah. And one of the things they were known for was their sexual sins.
Right, right. So, I mean, the very name of the city, Sodom.
Yeah.
You know, there's something called sodomy today, right? And this is where it gets its name from the sin, from the sexual depravity of this city. So we wanted to go here because, remember, we've talked about this so much in the past, how so many things from Genesis can be found throughout Scripture. Isn't that true?
It's true.
And Rick, you pointed that right in the book, right next to Revelation in Jude 1:7, it points to this account. It mentions this very account. Yeah. So let's go to the New Testament, okay? Because a lot of people, go ahead, Ed, you have a thought.
Yeah, well, let's go to the Bible where God talks about this as being a sin.
Yes, I think that's very important.
I found two texts, one in Leviticus 18.
Oh, in the Old Testament, okay.
22.
Leviticus 18:22.
And it says, "You shall not lie with mankind as with womankind. It is an abomination to God." And then in Leviticus 20:13, it says, "If a man lies with a mankind as he lies with a woman, both of them have committed an abomination, and they shall surely be put to death. Their blood shall be on them."
So what was the verse in Leviticus again? Leviticus
18:22. And Leviticus 20:13.
Okay, so yeah, here in Leviticus 18 in the New King James, it says, "You shall not lie with a male as with a woman. It is an abomination." So it's speaking to a man here.
Yes.
So, and what was the other text?
Leviticus 20:13.
20:13. I just wanted to see how that read. I'm a little behind you because you're using a computer there. It says, "If a man lies with a male as he lies with a woman, both of them have committed an abomination, and they shall surely be put to death. Their blood shall be upon them." But, you know, the argument that I get from this is, well, this is the Old Testament. You know, all of this stuff was fulfilled. That was part of the Mosaic law or the law of Moses. I get that a lot. I get that about the Sabbath. I get that about a lot of different things, about the diet that we have. And so naturally, this topic would have to fall into that same category because it's in with the same type of things, isn't it?
Yeah, but Mark, you know as well as I do that the principles of God don't change from whatever covenant we're under.
Amen.
Whether we're under New Covenant, New Testament, Old Covenant, Old Testament, the principles of God don't change.
Okay.
He wants us to do what's right in every instance.
Yes.
And he decides what's right, not mankind.
You know, the Bible talks about, even if you don't know a lot about God, God has revealed himself in nature, that the basics of the righteousness of God should be known to the world, and they don't have any excuse for the involvement in sin that they have.
Right.
That's in Romans chapter 1.
That's interesting wording. There's no excuse, you're saying.
Yes.
Should we read that?
Yes, we can.
Romans chapter 1, starting with verse 18. It says, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, who suppress the truth in unrighteousness, because the thing which may be known of God is clearly revealed within them, for God revealed it to them. For the unseen things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being realized by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, for them to be without excuse. Because knowing God, they did not glorify him as God, neither were thankful, but they became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened."
Wait. Let's slow down a little bit, because we need to talk about what Paul is saying here.
Okay.
You just said, Ed, that nobody has any excuse.
Right.
That's what the Bible said.
This is really what he's talking about right here. Because in some way, God puts it inside of us that we, and I would prefer to call it our conscience, that somehow we know and understand that there's a law outside of ourselves. There's something above ourselves that is so that we don't decide for ourselves what is right and wrong.
Yeah.
And I think Paul is making it clear that God has tried by the things that are seen. That's what he says in verse 20.
Also in verse 19, he says, it's not somebody else that's revealed it to mankind. It's God himself that
revealed it. It's God himself. In verse 20, it says basically, and I'm paraphrasing here, that the things that we see and understand are a lesson for us for the unseen things, the spiritual things of God. That's basically what this says. Let me read it from the King James. "For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world," so that must be things that are unseen, right?
Right.
are clearly seen, it says, being understood by the things that are made. In other words, that are tangible.
Yes, that we can see.
Yeah. Even his eternal power and Godhead, my Bible says. In other words, the power of God, whatever God is represented, you know, his power, his creative power, all these things that we don't necessarily understand about God, but those things are revealed in the creation that he's given
right.
us. And then it makes this statement, so that they, that's you and I and everybody else, mm-hmm. were without excuse.
Yes, that's right. So that means that we're without excuse as far as not believing in a creator. We're without an excuse as far as not recognizing right from wrong. And you know, where do we get our principles of right and wrong? Typically our parents, right?
Yeah, that's true.
We learn those at first. You know, you mentioned right at the outset, Rick, you mentioned being a product of your environment. We are all a product of our environment.
And I think that's part of the problem today, because parents have left a lot of parenting up to their teacher, right. kids' teachers,
or
and
television.
State. And, yeah, the television.
Set my kid in front of the TV and just let him watch for hours. Right. Isn't that what happens? So let's, Ed, are you finished there in Romans?
Cause no, I think text. We need to continue.
No, keep
on.
Going.
Keep going. Okay.
Okay. Verse 21. Because knowing God, they did not glorify him as God, neither were they thankful, but they became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like a corruptible man, mm. and birds, and four-footed animals,
wait,
and
creeping just a
things.
That hit me too.
Yeah, verse 22 is really important, because man has his own idea of the way things are, or the way he thinks they are.
Or the way he thinks God is.
Or the way he thinks God is.
In other words,
right.
he's taking God and making him into who he wants to be instead
right.
of who God really is.
Yeah.
Right?
And it's about that, about not just the image of God or what God looks like.
Right.
But God's character.
Right.
Who what God stands for.
Right. His morals, his principles, his laws, his commandments.
But how should we understand God? And this is the only way I know. What God tells us about himself
right.
is how we should understand God.
Yes, and how he reveals himself.
Yeah.
Right?
Okay, verse 24. Therefore God gave them up to uncleanliness through the lust of their hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. For they changed the truth of God into a lie, and they worshiped and served the created thing more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. Mm. For this cause, God gave them up to dishonorable affections, for even their women changed the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of women, burned in their lust towards one another, males with the males working out shamefulness and receiving in themselves the recompense which was fitting for their error.
Wow. So here in this letter to the Romans, he's making it clear that this is something unacceptable to
right.
God.
That's the question I was going to ask. What do we get from this? Is it okay to have same-sex relations? We don't get this from this chapter at all. It's clear that Paul is calling out these acts as evil.
Right. And he even says, really, what you're doing is you're making your own God. You're making yourself God.
Yeah.
There's someone in the Bible that did that early on. And we've read about that a number of times on this program. And that's Lucifer.
Mm-hmm.
He wasn't content with who he was created to be.
That's right.
He wanted to be something else or someone else.
He wanted to be like the Most High. That's
right.
what Ezekiel and Isaiah says.
Right.
I want to finish the chapter.
Okay.
Five
sure.
more verses, okay? And they did not think it fit, verse 28, and even as they did not think fit to have God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do things not right, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, being full of envy, murder, quarrels, deceit, evil habits, becoming whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, insolent, proud, braggarts, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, undiscerning, perfidious, without natural affections, unforgiving, unmerciful, who, knowing the righteous order of God, that the practice of such things are worthy of death, not only do them, but have pleasure in those practicing them. You notice this isn't just about homosexuality.
No, it's not. It's a whole list of things, yeah. Isn't it? You see, and what happens, here's the problem, Ed. This is what I see. And I see this a lot. Me as a person, I'm pointing to myself here, okay? I have a tendency to look at sin. And what is sin? The Bible defines it for us.
Transgression of God's law.
Transgression of God's law. We can find a verse that says that is in 1 John chapter 3, verse 4.
Yes.
It talks about that. So sin is transgression of God's law. So if I do something, I have a tendency to categorize sin. Do you know what I mean when I say that?
Some of sin is worse than others? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, in my mind, that's how I'll do it. It's like, oh, well, you know, I might have stolen that pen from the bank, but I didn't cheat on my wife.
Yeah.
You see? Or, well, maybe I cheated on my wife, but I didn't kill anybody. So is one of those things worse than the other?
Well, as human beings, we tend to think
we
of
do.
It that way.
I categorize it, but that's not what the Bible says.
No.
Right. That is not what the Bible says. In fact, if we look a little closer, can we go on to first?
Yes.
Let's look at 1 Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, and notice the same author that wrote Romans, which was the Apostle Paul, is the one that wrote 1 Corinthians. And he's writing to this church there in Corinth, and here's what he says in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, and I'm going to start in verse 9. He says, "Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God?" So I want to stop there. What is an unrighteous person?
Somebody that doesn't have any righteousness.
Okay, that's good.
I think it's someone who doesn't practice sin.
Someone who practices sin,
yeah.
Right? Someone who,
okay.
If you're righteous, you're not going to practice
right.
sin. It doesn't mean that we're not naturally sinful nature, but we can be righteous if we come to God through Christ,
yes.
Right?
It's the power of Christ living with us that brings that unrighteousness.
There you go.
We can find that in Romans 8.
Yes, we can. So take a look at this again. It says, verse 9 of 1 Corinthians 6, "Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God?" And look at what it says. "Do not be deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God." Now, I find it interesting that some of the things that are mentioned here are not mentioned within the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments don't mention being a drunkard. Not that I have seen.
No.
But we could probably put that under the category of something like coveting, because a drunkard usually wants that drink more than it wants anything else.
Yeah, that's true.
See, but it's not enumerated under the commandments.
Or
you have a,
do not have any gods before me.
That's right.
Making a god out of,
there you go,
alcohol.
That's right. So even though it's not one of the commandments, you see how it falls under the category of a commandment.
Go ahead and read verse 11.
Yeah, so after it says these things, one of the things I want to point out before we do that, Ed, because I do want to get to that. But when it mentions these things, these aren't necessarily in order.
Right.
Because there is no order.
Right.
There's no order to this. It's just, this is a fact. These people will not inherit God's kingdom.
Yeah.
But the beauty of it is, all of us at some point might have come under to one of these categories at some time in our life. I know I could say that I was an idolater because I put other things before God. I can honestly say that I fell under that category. And unfortunately, sometimes today I might even come to that point even now, that I put something before God. So the next verse says in verse 11, "And such were some of you." Remember, he's talking to this church in Corinth. He says, but you were washed, but you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God.
So just because you're involved in some of these practices doesn't mean you can have to continue in that,
right.
That you can be changed.
But I'm going to share with you what someone said to me, and let's see how we answer this question. Well, see, what happens here, it tells me that I don't have to worry about these things because Jesus came and died for me. So if I'm doing this, he covers me.
So Jesus died so you can just keep on sinning then, right?
Isn't that a great question?
Yeah.
When you put it like that, isn't it just a slap in the face?
It's offensive.
It is offensive.
It should be offensive. But how offensive is sin to God?
Exactly. Much more sinful much more offensive than what you just said to me.
That's like right? me saying, after I cheat on my wife, I come back to her and say, well, you know, let's just get married again and that'll wipe out all the cheating that I've done.
Yeah.
We'll go down to the justice of the peace and I'll renew my vows with you and everything will be good then.
Yeah, it doesn't work that way, does it?
No, it doesn't because for my relationship to be right with my wife, I have to continually do the things that I promised her I would do in my covenant with her and that she would do in her covenant with me. That's
right.
What makes our relationship work. And that's what makes our relationship work with God. Not so much that we've stumbled in the past. That's bad enough. But what makes our relationship with God be able to move forward is the fact that I'm praying and I want to do what God wants me to do in my life.
That's it.
He's going to uphold his part of the bargain. That's for sure.
There you go.
That's set in stone, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
You know, I heard a sermon recently in Ezekiel chapter 33. And it talks about a righteous person. If they don't continue in righteousness and if they sin, then they're going to be held accountable for their sin.
Right.
But a wicked person, the one who sins, if they change their ways and become righteous, they'll live.
Yeah. That's amazing, isn't it?
Yeah.
So how do I get there from here? In other words, I fall under one of these categories. We're talking specifically today about, you know, people who profess to be Christians that say, I'm a homosexual. I'm a practicing homosexual, they might say.
Well, let me just say this. And I'm going to go to the place where I started at the beginning of the program.
Yes.
I think now's a good time to say
yes.
that. You know, as a young man, I pretty much realized that I had a problem with how I viewed the opposite sex.
Mm. Yes.
And as I got older and older, I recognized that my problem with viewing the opposite sex in such a worldly way, in such a sexual way,
right,
that those sins sucked me right in.
Right.
I was born that way, to tell you the truth. That's the way I look at it. I was born that way.
I've heard people say that about being a homosexual. So how do I fix this? Or where are we headed
here?
Well,
my point is, no matter how I'm born, God has a way for me to be born again and to overcome the world and how I was born the first time.
Okay. So let me ask you this, Rick. There's an illustration that I have heard you use that I really appreciate. That you were on the job one day and you were talking with a man who is an instructor for young people and how he works with these young folks. And this topic of homosexuality came up.
And he basically reiterated what I just said about my own experience. And I really identified that, is that when he talks to young people about homosexuality, he says, how is that any different from me being born a heterosexual with a real problem as far as me wanting to go out and have sexual relations with every good-looking woman that I see out there. Mm. He said, I'm born that way. He said, I want to look at all the women. I think they're beautiful to look at, and that gets inside me, and I really can't help myself. I want to have sexual relations with as many women as I think are beautiful and want to reciprocate with me.
So in other words, what you're saying, he was born that way. So if a homosexual says, I was born this way, we're not contending that.
I'm not.
We are genetically defective ever since Adam and Eve ate the fruit. Would
That's
you agree?
That's exactly right. And my point is that when God points out in the scripture that something is wrong, that he wants us to do right by his standard, it may be difficult for us to accept that and think, wow, I've got a problem. But no matter what that problem is, whether it's, I mean, we're just talking about sexual sin, but no matter what that problem is, all these things that we've read about,
yeah.
whether I have a penchant to steal things right. or to be covetous or to, you understand, or to be a drunkard mm-hmm. or to...
A reviler,
to put my faith right. in things other than God and be an idolater in that way, or adultery, all these things, we are born with these tendencies to do these things. Not that we're forced to do
right.
these things. Not that, you know, just because we're born a certain way, that takes away our choice, because God always gives us the choice to do what's right and what's wrong. And he's always willing to give us the power to enable that choice, make that choice come to fruition in our lives.
Okay.
So no matter whether I'm homosexual at birth, or whether I'm an adulterer at birth, or whether I have a penchant for stealing things right from when at birth, from when I'm a little kid, it doesn't matter what those things are. God has a way to overcome those things.
But we have to be willing to do it.
We do.
We have to be willing to do it. So let's, Ed, do you have a thought?
You know, this program, we're talking about sexual sins and specifically homosexuality. But as Rick said, it really doesn't matter what sin Satan has a hold of you on.
That's right.
God has prepared a way for you to overcome that through the power of a living Christ within you. Acts 2:38, you know, Peter is preaching to the Jews, and he's preaching is very effective, and they're hearing his words, and they were affected in their heart and said to Peter, "What shall we do?" And Peter said, "Repent and be baptized, everyone, in the name of Jesus, to remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." Repent means turn away.
Yes.
To be baptized and you shall receive the Spirit of the Holy Spirit, which is Christ. That's where you get the power to overcome sin in your life.
Yes.
You know, a text that came up just the other day, and actually my wife just pointed this out, that in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13, it yeah. says that there's no temptation taken you by such as common to man. In other words, there's nothing new under the sun as far as temptation, right?
That's right.
But it continues. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape, that you may be able to bear it. Mm. So any temptation, anything that we struggle with, God provides a way out so we can do the right thing every time. But we got to rely on his power through Christ Jesus.
We do.
There's such a conflict between the world and what it tells you is okay and what the Bible says. It really comes down to, who do you believe?
Mm.
Do you believe God has a better plan for your life than what you do?
That's exactly right. And, you know, honestly, this is going to be tremendously difficult and offensive for people mm-hmm. because they've built their whole lives and their whole lifestyle, all of their relationships
right.
around something that clearly the Bible and God says is not the way to live your life. It's going to be tremendously difficult. Being real about life. And honestly, I can't identify with that. I can't. I'm not in that place. But it's not about homosexuality for me. That's not, for lack of a better way of saying it, that's not my problem.
That's not your
vice. I have other problems that are just as bad or even worse than that. So we're all struggling to do what God wants in our lives and not what we want. So the trick is, but it's really not a trick.
Key.
The key. That's better, Mark. Thank you. The key is to really to understand what God wants in our lives and be able to say, you know what? Even though I may not desire to do that, God has a way to put that desire in my heart to do what he wants me to do.
So we're quickly running out of time. I want to know what this looks like from a practical standpoint. In other words, suppose somebody's listening to this program. They hear what we're saying. They might be living with someone they're not married to. They might be doing some of any one of these things in this list that we're talking about, including maybe someone who's listening is a homosexual. What does this look like from a practical point of view? How do I overcome whatever my vice is, whatever this problem is, whatever this sin is that has a hold of me? What do I do next? Where do I go from here?
I think it starts with a simple prayer.
That's wonderful. Exactly.
You pray to God, you know, just talk to him like you would talk to anybody else. This is my situation. This is how I feel. This is what's happening in my life. But yet I read in your word these things that tell me that I'm doing things that aren't right. You know?
So we have to believe that God exists. Yeah. We have to pray for the power that he can give us through his spirit, through Christ in you, right? We have to invite Christ into our heart. So on a practical level, this is where I start. So where do I go from there? I've prayed and I've asked.
You read the word.
You read the word of God. You learn what his requirements are. He does have requirements, just like any parent has requirements for their children that live in their home. If we want to live for eternity in God's wonderful kingdom, then we have to meet certain requirements to be there.
If you want to know God and his son better, start by reading the word. It tells you about them. It tells you how they can work within in your life. It tells you how to overcome sin in your life. I mean, we've been talking about this really for the last 3 months.
Yes, we have on this program.
So I just want to say it's like that with any relationship. There's requirements within every
relationship. Sure.
Like with my wife in our marriage, we have requirements.
With a boss and an employee.
An boss. Yeah, that's right. If you're your own boss, maybe it's your boss, the federal government.
That's right.
Or the state government that tells you, you know, you have to send your regular tax payments and all that stuff, you know. So there's requirements to every relationship. Mm-hmm. And I think at the very basis, this is what Lucifer, that angel in heaven, didn't want to adhere to.
Right.
God had requirements for all of his creation, and Lucifer said, forget it. I want to do my own thing. I want to be my own. I want to decide what I want to be. And boy, do we see that today. People want to decide that they're something different than who God created them as a human being.
That's it.
I think another thing that can be helpful is find a Bible-believing Christian that you can talk with, that you can study the word with, that can encourage you in your struggles. And we all struggle.
Absolutely.
You're not alone. Just because we may not have this particular problem ourselves, we have just as many other problems that we deal with all the time.
Yeah.
So try to find somebody that, you know, will support you in this effort of trying to change your life through the power of God, through the power of Christ living within you.
So, go ahead.
And I want to make it clear to people, we are not homophobic.
No.
We don't hate homosexuals.
No.
We're trying to share with you the word of God that can bring you blessings in your life and that can lead to eternal life with
Amen.
Him.
That actually, you started into my next question, Ed, which was, so let's bring this even more practical. So we've talked about how we can help, what will help them to overcome these things. And you said prayer, study of the Bible, asking God for help, meeting other Christians, talking right. with them, right? So how do I treat someone? Maybe I have a family member or maybe a friend, a close friend that what do they say, comes out and expresses to me that this is what they've done. How do I deal with that? How do we help our listeners to get to that point?
No one's going to listen to you unless they know you care about them.
Right.
So you've got to care for them truly from your heart and show them that you do have concerns, a genuine love for them, and that you want to share what the Bible says with them. Because it has eternal consequences, not just the consequences on this earth,
right.
but eternally.
Right. Rick, do you have a thought on this?
Yeah, I think I completely agree with you, Ed. I think if we're going to witness to somebody in any way of what God has done for us and what he can do in our lives, it has to be something real. It can't be fake or anything like that. And so I think having genuine concern and love for somebody else, that's where it all starts. And it's not just about whether someone's a homosexual or not. It's, you know, whatever they're struggling with in their lives. How do we help somebody? We care about them.
Right.
You know, one of the things that I want to make clear to the listener is it doesn't mean that you're not going to have a thought, that these thoughts aren't going to pop into your head.
Right.
That you may not even, it's not going to mean that you won't necessarily have that desire for a while. It might be there. But what we're saying is if you trust God and you invite Christ into your heart, he can remove those thoughts and those desires.
You know, I think it's the same way with anything that we have come to overcome in our mm-hmm. past. You know, it's not like we're never tempted in those areas
right.
again. Like a smoker who quits smoking.
Right.
When they walk by some place and somebody's smoking a cigarette and they smell that smell again, you know, I can't imagine. I've never been a smoker, but I can imagine that there's a pull there. There's a power
or
there.
Or a drunkard, right?
Yeah.
Somebody who is an alcoholic.
Yeah.
So, you know, just speaking of that, who you hang out with and the environment you're in can
right.
affect your ability to overcome things.
Absolutely.
And let me say this. There can be a lot of opposition to this because
sure.
what the world is saying is completely all right and acceptable. And in fact, beyond that, we should be embracing this.
That's what the world is teaching.
That's what the world is teaching.
Diversity
so
today.
We're
right.
we're going completely against the worldly grain right now.
Yeah.
We're completely opposite with what the world is thinking and teaching and pushing.
You know.
And so there can be a lot of pushback. But like we always say, don't take our word for it. Ask God what his requirements are. Go to the Bible.
Yeah.
See what God actually says and do it with an open heart and open mind. And then you'll be going back down the right path to what God wants in your life
yes.
and not what you think on your own.
You know, and I think one of the problems is as human beings, if we're, and this happens a lot in the Christian church, let's face it. If somebody came to us today and said, somebody that is part of Prophecies of Hope ministry, and said, hey, this is how I am. I'm a homosexual. Do we immediately cut them off and chastise them and say, don't you know better? I think we need to get down in the trenches with them as far as their feelings, because likely they've hit it because they realize there's a problem.
Mm-hmm.
And we need to say, look, let's pray together. Let's talk about it. Let's go to God's word. We have to love the sinner but hate the sin, right?
Yeah. You know, that's a catchphrase that people just don't appreciate.
It's abused, but it's true.
Look, if God didn't love us, where would we be?
Yeah, we wouldn't be here.
But he really hates the things that we do that are sinful, doesn't he?
Yes.
So really, God loves us sinners, but he hates our sin. But, you know, he provided a way for us to overcome ourselves. And if we don't get anything by this particular radio program, I need to remember that God has provided a way for us to overcome everything.
No matter what that issue is.
No matter what it is. You know, and keep in mind, friends, that we are not categorizing sin. Sin is sin. Sin will keep you from living with God and his Son for eternity. Isn't that right?
Yeah.
And Jesus came to save us from our sin, not in our sin. I can't make that clear enough. I don't know that we've had enough time to really develop this. Maybe we can continue more next week talking about this, because it's just, you know, this is such a touchy subject. And I'm going to be honest, you know, stuff like this gets you kicked off of radio networks.
Yeah, it does.
And gets you shut down, and people lose sponsors because of stuff like this. But, you know, this ministry will always stand for the word of truth, whether we have a spot on the air or not. We will always preach from God's word.
I think maybe next week, maybe we should talk more about overcoming.
I think that would be a good idea. I really do.
How do we deal with sin in our lives, no matter what that sin is?
Yes, I think that would be good.
And I think we can talk more about the relationship issue, helping other people, praying for other people, encouraging other people.
Amen. So we have to close. Ed, would you close with prayer for us?
Sure. Let's go ahead and bow our heads. Father in heaven, we're grateful for this great gift you've given us through your Son, Jesus Christ. No matter what condition my heart is in today, no matter how messed up my life is today, no matter how badly I'm living my life, we still have hope in the gospel. Because that's why Jesus came to die for us. When we were without strength to not obey your law, that's when Christ came to die for us, to give us power to overcome sin. May you guide each person that's listening. May you bring them back to your word to know the whole gospel story, how we can overcome sin in our lives through the life of Christ that lives within us. I pray all these things in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Amen. So, friends, we thank you for tuning in. We hope you tune in again next week. We'll be right here next Sunday, 7 p.m. And until then, if we don't meet you on the air, we hope to meet you in the air.